Continuing our series in Psalms. And this morning, we are doing one of the most famous Psalms, Psalms 23. And we are I'm calling this Psalms Depending on God. Now, Psalm 23 sometimes is one of those Psalms that we kind of treat as a lucky charm. I don't know if you guys have ever, do you have your the Bible passages that you keep in your pocket and then like you take out and you kind of brush off as like a, as like your lucky rabbit's foot. Like, you know, you get in a bad situation, you whip there. Well, a lot of times Psalm 23 is that for us. It's a great Psalm. We know it. A lot of us have grown up quoting it and you get in a circle and everybody quotes it from a different passage or a different like translation and everyone gets all screwed up. I know I've done that a few times, but you know, we all know it and we think like, all right, yes, I want that. And it's a great passage because you read it and you're like, yes, it speaks to my soul. But it's not a lucky charm. It's not a lucky rabbit's foot. Psalms 23 is describing a lifestyle. Psalms 23 is describing something that we need to do, and that is to depend upon God and his provisions. We always, it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 2 years, for a half of year, for 10 years, we always need to be learning how to grow our dependence upon God. And that's what this passage is. You know, if you open up this passage, there's no commands, there's no requests. It's just telling us about God. It's just giving us an understanding of a God to get our soul desiring to depend upon God. And that's exactly what David is trying to do in Psalms 23. He's showing us that we need a greater dependence upon God. And the first thing that David shows us in Psalms 23 is that we need a day-to-day dependence. We need a day-to-day dependence. You know, when I left home for college, you know, I had a lot of like Christian, you know, like little like religious practices that I kind of wanted to challenge you a little bit. Like I wanted, why do we do these things? You know, as Christians, why do we do all of these little intricate religious practices? You know, and one of them was that praying before meals. It's like, why do we pray before meals as Christians? Like, it just becomes mundane sometimes. It's just like religious practice. Most of us, you know, it's a prayer that our parents said growing up, and we still, you know, 42 years later, still are praying the exact same prayer. And so I kind of challenged that a little bit. I was like, I'm not going to pray before meals. It's kind of dumb. And then, you know, I was going to a Christian college. And so, you know, as Christian college freshmen do, we were bantering up late one night and, you know, having arguments that we should never be having because we're not wise enough. But, you know, so we were having this conversation and I was, you know, telling these guys, yeah, I don't really pray before meals anymore because it's just a stupid practice that we don't really need. And I prayed the rest of the time throughout the day. And I don't want it just to be a religious practice that doesn't really mean anything. Now, I had one buddy actually kind of challenge me on that. And he said, you know, Jesse, he's like, I kind of struggled with the same thing. And then I actually brought it to my pastor. He was wise. I wasn't. He went to his pastor. I just shut up. That wasn't, you know, so follow his lead. But he went to his pastor. And, you know, one of the things that his pastor kind of really challenged him on and it stuck with me. He said, you know, a lot of times the meals that we are about to consume is a meal that we worked for. You know, we worked hard for the paycheck. We worked hard to make it, you know, we worked hard to be able to pay for it. If we, you know, going to a restaurant or, you know, somehow, you know, most of the time in some way, shape or form, we've worked for that meal and we feel like that meal is owed to us. We feel like that meal is something that we're deserved and we forget that that meal is a gift from God. And he says, so we pray every time before meals to remember that God is providing everything. I was like, all right, I'm convicted. But we do. This little practice of praying before meals is a practice of dependence upon God. Thank you for this meal today, God. That lifestyle is what David is trying to talk about in the first part of Psalms 23. He opens up with verse 1 and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, David is starting out Psalms 23, showing us a day-to-day dependence upon God. Our normal life should look like this. And he shows us right from the very beginning verses of what that kind of looks like. He goes before the Lord and he declares that the Lord is my shepherd. And from that is everything else flows, this idea of God as our shepherd. And a shepherd wasn't somebody who would, you know, walk in at 9 o'clock in the morning, punch in, do his work and was diligent and then punch out at nine. No, punch in at nine, walk out at five, whatever, you know what it is. And then leave and be done. A shepherd was somebody who lived with the sheep, knew the sheep. He numbered the sheep to make sure they were all safe. The shepherd was the one who led them in and out of their pastures and fought off the wolves and slept with them and took care of them. And I did a lot of reading on shepherds, and it was just the crazy amount of care that a shepherd had for his sheep to keep them safe. And David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, God isn't just somebody who comes in and out of our life, checks in, checks out. No, but he's somebody who guides us our entire life, day in and day out. And he says, I shall not want. Now that want, that's not the like, I really want coffee or I really want ice cream. Or as I found out this Saturday morning, Brad really wants donuts. Brad thinks donuts are a good analogy for God. If you want to talk to him, he'll tell you about it later. But, you know, I really want, so that's not what he's talking about. Okay, he's not talking about these little wants, but what he's talking about is the things that we need to survive in our day-to-day life. God provides everything we need. And very specifically, spiritually and emotionally. That God is not going to leave us out to dry. He is our shepherd. His presence is always there. And so then he goes in and he starts giving a picture. And just look at these next couple of verses and kind of throughout the rest of the psalm. And I now have these circled in my Bible because it was really good for me to read. But everything is, he makes, he leads, he restores, he leads again. Later on, you prepare, you anoint. All of this is God. It is God, it is God, it is God. You know, so often we think there's so much that we need to do. I need to get my life good here. I need to get my life fixed there. If this problem's going to work out, if I'm going to be filled here, if God's going to be able to use me here, I have to do all of these things. And there are things we need to do to, you'll grow in our sanctification, to grow in our walk with the Lord. But we also have to remember, but in the end, it's the Lord's work. We are depending upon God. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay, green pasture is where the sheep would go to eat. You know, sheep need to eat. If you're going to have sheep that produce, you know, fur, what do they have? Wool, thank you. Wool, thank you. They have wool. You know, those nice wool jackets. You know, they have wool. They're going to produce wool. They're going to, produce milk. Do people drink lamb's milk? They do, right? I think they do. Yeah, thank you. So they're going to drink their milk. If they're going to provide food. I like to smoke lamb chops. But if they're going to do all of these things, you have to bring them to a healthy pasture. And it's a pasture where they're going to be safe, where they're not going to be able to run off, where they can just eat leisurely. And this is the day-to-day necessities that they need. And David is using it as a picture of what God does. He says, he leads us to green pastures. It's God who leads us to the very thing that we need. But then he goes on, he continues in the shepherding theme. It says, he leads me beside still waters. Again, sheep are dumb. And, you know, we're sheep, so sometimes we're dumb. We have to work through that. That's why we need a shepherd like God. And when sheep would go get a drink of water, okay, if that water was any type of, had any type of current, they would fall in and get washed away. They would lose sheep very often in these rivers and creeks that were, you know, that would have higher, volume of water. And so, David is saying, but you lead me beside still waters. Okay. It was also a watering hole. That was a popular watering hole. It was not only a watering hole for, sheep, but also of lions and predators. And so the shepherd would have to guide the sheep to a still watering hole that was safe, that wasn't moving, that was a good place where they could drink without any harm. And that's the picture that David's giving. You lead me beside still waters. And then he switches from a metaphor of I'm talking about sheep, and then he just kind of goes right at it and says, you restore my soul, God. You restore my soul. That idea of restore is a revive, a make alive again, breathe life into. And when we depend upon God, that's what he does. You know, from the moment that we give our life to the Lord, if we've never met Jesus, the moment that you declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he breathes life into our soul. But then he continues to make it alive. He continues to revive. He continues to restore. And there are so many times that we fill our soul with so much junk that it feels like it's dead again. And God just continues to breathe life in. When we depend upon him. But he also leads me down paths of righteousness. This is the day-to-day walking in the faithfulness of the Lord. Understanding where we are supposed to go. And God leads us there. God's not a God of chaos. God's a God of order. And he is going to show us our steps. He is going to lead us down the paths of righteousness. Now, he's not just going to let us wander off and tank our lives, but he is going to continue. When we lean into God, when we depend upon God in our day to day, God is going to provide our path. And he makes one of the greatest promises he can make. He says, for he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's not a greater promise, because here's the thing, okay? All glory is God's glory. God deserves all the praise. There is not a higher being. A lot of times, we think we deserve praise and glory for something. And, I used to do a lot of snowboarding. A lot of times I would think, I was really good. And then all of a sudden, I'd go to a competition. Someone better than me would show up. I'm like, oh, they're better than me. All right, so I got to give them. Now they get that mantle of they're better. And every time we, something that we do or whatever, or a hobby that we have or a job that we have, we think we get praise and glory for that. There is always somebody higher. And we can always find somebody who does something better, or is more proficient at it, or deserves more glory. And so then we have to hand off that mantle to them until we get to God. You see, God's glory is the greatest glory and the only glory. God's name is the name above all names, and God is going to protect his name to the end because he deserves it. And when he says he's going to do these things for his name's sake, he can't promise on a higher thing because he's going to protect his name because he's God. And so when he says that he's going to do these things, these day-to-day things, we can believe it. So I'm going to do it on my name's sake. And so we, and David is showing us that we have to have a day-to-day dependence, depending upon the Lord to lead us to still waters and to lead us to green pastures and to restore our soul. The little things that we use to restore, it's not going to work. We have to go to God. You ever try to spend a day without water? Maybe 2 days. You ever do 2 days without water? Anybody? Brad, have you ever gone camping for over and never have water for like 2 days? No. Okay. I think we should try. I think we should do something. I think we should all this week go Tuesday and Wednesday and not drink any water. Okay. And I think we should film ourselves and do a YouTube monologue and post it up on there. No, we would never do that. Why? Because we desperately need water to survive 3 days. And we're, is it 3 days? 4 days? I think it's 3 days, right? I think it's 3 days. But you know, we need water to survive. Our day-to-day is dependent upon water. Without it, we will die. But how many days sometimes do we go in a row without ever thinking about our dependence upon God? You know, it's pretty regular sometimes. We'll have a busy week. We'll go on vacation. Work's crazy. Family's difficult. And we'll look up and we haven't taken a moment to even think about our dependence upon God. We haven't taken a moment to touch his word. We haven't really spent time in prayer. And it's like, and we think that's normal. But David's like, no. No, it's God who provides everything that we need every single day. Even in the mundane, we need to be pressing into God. We need to be depending upon God. We, and, you know, this means that we are actively proclaiming to God, God, I need you. I am depending upon you. And not looking to other things, but on a regular basis, even just in the normal lifestyle, Lord, we need to depend upon you and look for opportunities. And even as you know, we read this first section of Psalms, allow it to create a desire. Man, I want those green pastures. I want that soul restored. I want that. And even as we read this and just as David's declaring this thing, allow it to make us desire the presence of God. But then he goes from the day-to-day dependence, and then he starts talking about the shadow of death. And when the shadow of death comes, we still need to lean into God. When the shadow of death comes, we need to push in. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and staff come from me. That's the second point that David's showing, is that we need the shadow of death. When the shadow of death comes, we need to lean in to God. And you know, make note of here, he says, you know, verse 4, says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, David is still in this idea of God as our shepherd. Okay, he's still using this analogy. Why? Because, well, a shepherd would lead his sheep through valleys that were really dangerous. You know, to go from a pasture to a pasture, from a water, from you know where the flock lived, to a watering hole, they would have to go through difficult situations. They'd have to go through difficult valleys. A lot of times these valleys were dangerous because there was no way out. You could either go one way or the other. And so when you would, certain valleys, if there were you know robbers or people who would you know be waiting for the shepherds to come through, or there'd be lions or things like that, like this, these were dangerous places, but they were still led by their shepherd. And there's times that you and I go through valleys of the shadow of death, and then it's still God leading us. God allows us to go through these things, but he's still walking with us. Now, I believe just how David is referring to this, circumstance he was going through, I think it was a literal death. It was a life and death situation that God was allowing him to go through. And you know, for all of us, the reality of death is very real. We live in that light that God could take us at any moment. It is sobering sometimes, but it also, I believe, can be applied to circumstances of life. Where death is all around us, where people are, you know, circumstances that are causing us to live in a way that we are like walking, almost like walking dead people. But he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Man, I want that confidence. I want that confidence. There's so many times in life where fear takes control. That idea of fear is a consuming thing. You know, the word fear here is being afraid to the point where you can't do anything because you're so consumed by it. And all you can do is just focus on that one little thing. And you basically cease to function because of that fear. And David is saying, I will fear no evil. And that's a confident life. Why? Because you are with me. Because you are with me. It's the proximity to God. It's because David isn't walking through the valley of shadow of death by his own. He is walking to it or through it with his shepherd. God is with him. Even when the shadow of the valley of death comes, David is leaning into God. And he says, you know, that your rod, the rod that he's talking about, it was actually a weapon that was used for defense that the shepherds carried. And it was what they would use to defend their sheep. And then the staff was what they used to direct and to keep the sheep together. And so he's talking about the two different things, that protection and direction. And he says that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The tools that God has comforts David as he's walking through this season, as he's walking through the shadow of death, and he's leaning into God. And you know, so often, you and I, we hit these moments where we walk into the shadow of death. Instead of turning to God, we turn to so many other things. You know, when I get sick, I hate being sick. Like I utterly, the worst moments of my life are when I'm sick. And, you know, I know we have 5 kids. Sickness is a fairly regular thing. We've been doing good for a while. Yes. But the moment anything happens, like I have my pile of remedies. Like my kids start throwing up, I go get the charcoal. I go find the white grape juice. I'm finding my Tums. I'm like overdosing on it because I don't want to be sick. No. And the moment the kids start sneezing, like I have like 6 packs of emergency dumped into water cups. I'm taking them every 2 hours. I know you're only supposed to take 1 or 2 a day. You can tell me about it later. But, you know, and then I have my emergency and my Tylenol and my, you know, whatever. I have all of these remedies because I hate being sick. It's like the worst thing ever. Like you can go ask Ashley, and we have a big drawer up in our cupboard that's full of like the kids' medicine. And then we have the one big drawer that's the same size that's just daddy medicine. Okay, legitimately. I just hate it. I run to these things. And you know, you and I, a lot of times when we hit the seasons where it's like feels like the shadow of valley of death, we have all of these remedies that we run after. We have this drawer that we pull out that the moment that this season hits, I'm going to start using this. I'm going to turn to this. I need this in my life. I need this in my life. This is going to fix it. But really, we need to be depending upon God. We need to be letting these moments cause us to lean into God, understanding that he has a rod and a staff that's going to comfort us, that he is going to defend us in this season, and he is going to protect us and direct us. We need to stop turning to our own little remedies and start turning to God. Open up God's word and spend time depending upon God. Open up your prayer life. Go for a walk. Start believing in the power of God and that God is going to protect you in these seasons and not turn to all these other little things and just say, God, I'm going to depend upon you in this season. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff protect me. Man, I want to learn this confidence like David has. I want to learn and understand where to go. And we have to learn that we need to turn to these things. And we have to make that pattern. And you know, as we see David do this, we're like, man, that's what we need to continue to preach truth to ourselves and remember. So when these moments hit, you know, it's like Gabe gave us a fire extinguisher because we didn't have a fire extinguisher. And I was going to leave the fire extinguisher out in the corner and teach all my kids how to use it. And then I remembered I have a 3-year-old named Isaiah. And I thought better of that. So we now have it under our sink. And I've started to teach my 2 older kids, Jaden and Micah. Mike was asking about the other day. I was like, you know what? I need to teach these guys where this is so that in case of emergency, not Isaiah, but they can run to this. They know where it's at. We have a plan in place. We, you know, if daddy starts the stove on fire because mom is gone and dad shouldn't really be cooking with grease, the fire extinguisher is right there and you pull that pin and you know what to do. The same is true with our spiritual life. When we hit the shadow of death, we need to know where we're going to lean into. We need to know that path. We need to know that direction and say, no, God, I'm going to lean into you just like David does. And then lastly, he closes with this. Starting in verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me. He switches metaphors now. He's going from this idea of shepherd and leading in that way to a host. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The last thing that David shows us in point number 3 is that even in victory, we need to see God's handiwork. Even in victory, we need to see God's handiwork. You know, a lot of times, some of the hardest times to lean into God, to depend upon God, is when we have a victory. When life is going well, when we start to succeed in something, a lot of times we forget about our need for God. And the moment that something starts to work well for us, we think that we did it. And then all of a sudden, even though we might have been falling on our knees before the Lord, depending upon the Lord during that struggle, when the victory actually comes, we immediately turn our backs on God and start to glorify self. But here David gives us a picture that even in victory, he still understands that all of these things are from God. He sees God's handiwork. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, David now has walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He's been faithful and walked through that valley. And now he's victorious and God is hosting him for a dinner. And in Old Testament times, this was a normal practice. When you had victory over your enemies, somebody would host you for a dinner. You would eat in the presence of the captives. And so they could see that you were victorious. And the person that they would set the table in front of is a person of honor. And David's saying, you, God himself, has prepared a table for me. God is giving me the place of honor. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Okay, this anointing could be like 1,000 different things. But some people think, you know, maybe it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Some people relate it back to an anointment that they put on sheep. But ultimately, when God anoints the head of somebody, when the Bible uses that term, it's talking about that person is God's chosen one. And that person is of high honor. And David said, hey, you're the one who has anointed me, God. You're the one who's put me in this seat of honor. And I've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. The blessings that I have are in abundance, God. He says, surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's the steady kindness of somebody looking out for somebody else on a regular basis. The steady kindness, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David describes a victory dinner, and as he describes that victory dinner, it's all about the things that God has done for David. David still sees the handiwork of God, even in victory. And he doesn't let go of that. And it continues to allow him to be dependent upon God because he doesn't lose sight. You know, when we do something big, you know, when we accomplish something that feels really good, you know, we want to do it again. But a lot of times in the mix of everything, we forget how hard it really is. You know, one of the things where this was a reality for me was planning mission trips. I've planned tons of them in my time being a student pastor. You know, apparently that's something you do, and it needs to be part of your job description. They didn't teach it at school, but they probably should have. And you know, it was a big event. It was. You know, you would pick a location, find a church to partner with. You know, you'd find an organization to work in, and then you got to do all the support raising, and you got to. You know, you got to do all of these things, and you got to, you know, have students fill out applications, and then you got to plan for, you know, you're running a sports camp or a kids camp, or you're building this, you have to bring this, apply this. There's a lot there, and it's a ton of work. But then when you actually like get to that week, and you get to be a part of it, and you get to see God work, and you get to see, and it's like, it's such a good feeling. Like, yes, I want to do that again. And then you go home and you forget all the work that it took to get you there. And you think, yeah, let's just do this again next summer. And then you start to prepare for it again and you remember, oh man, this is a lot of work. No, we do that. You know, a lot of you can think about different things we do in life. And here's the thing, when God has victory in our life, a lot of times we forget the amount of work that God has put in to get us there. We forget that the work that God has done to make us successful, to make us dependent upon him. And we think, oh, I can just do this again on my own. I can figure this out. And every time that we're victorious, a lot of times if we don't depend upon God again, if we don't remember like David remembers, the next time we're going to depend upon God less and less and less. But David here, the whole thing, man, look what God has done. God has set me before the table. And we need to, even in our victory, lean into God. You know, when we look at our lifestyle, does it look like Psalms 23? When we look at some of the victories that God has allowed us to have, whether it be walking through a hardship or, you know, a lot of times you're working through issues in marriage or, you know, maybe it's been something at work or being able to proclaim the gospel to people or, you know, when you get through those and you kind of get to celebrate them a little bit, are you seeing God's handiwork in them? Are you seeing God at work in you? Do you think in a way where your mind immediately, even in victory, goes to the dependence upon God? And if it doesn't, we're in trouble. We need to depend upon God. We need to press in to God. We need a lifestyle that looks like Psalms 23. Now, I love this psalm. I love this psalm. I love it for the fact that it has no commands. I love it for the fact that it has no requests. I love that it is just a declaration. It is just telling us. It is just David being open. It is actually a hymn that was sung. And this is a psalm that we need to read day in and day out. We need to start at the beginning and go to the end. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh Lord, give me that dependence. Lord, I want those green pastures. Lord, I'm in that valley of the shadow of death. I need to get to the place where I won't fear evil, God. God, you have prepared a table before me. God, thank you for allowing me to be victorious. God, I want this life. And then we go back and read it again and again and again. Why? Because it speaks truth to our soul. It shows us the lifestyle that it has. It's realigning our souls, showing us, no, that TV show that you go to find dependence upon, that job that you go to, that vacation that you go to, that habit or hobby that you go to, that you depend upon to find your mundane day-to-day activities, to find your relief from the shadow of death, to celebrate, yet those don't work. We need to depend upon God in the day-to-day. We need to depend upon God in the seasons where we're walking through the shadow of the valley of death. We need to depend upon God in the times of victory. And we need to allow Psalms 23 to continue to whet our appetite. Do you live a life that's dependent upon God? Is that a normal thought process? Do you have a typical conversation with God where you are telling him of your dependence? Do you open up scripture and read it in a way where you are saying, God, I need to learn from you because you are the only thing. God, I need to find my green pastures. God, I need to find my still water. Is that the way that we open up scripture? You know, Lord, you restore my soul. Is that the way we go after prayer? In our times alone with God? Are we learning how to depend upon God? Does our lifestyle match the lifestyle of Psalms 23? Because it's not a lucky charm. It's not a lucky rabbit's foot. It's a lifestyle. A lifestyle where we are learning to depend upon God and his provisions more and more and more. And man, if we, you know, I continue to push this because I think it's great. But the more that we learn this type of dependence, the more as a church we are going to be able to make disciples of Jesus. Why? Because to make disciples of Jesus, we have to depend upon Jesus. To make disciples of God, we have to depend upon God. If we are not depending upon God, if this is not our lifestyle, Psalms 23 doesn't look like our life. I'm not making a disciple of God. I'm making a disciple of Jesse. That's no good. We want to make disciples of God, but to do that, we have to depend upon God. So the band's going to come back up, and we're going to sing one more song. And even as we're singing that song, I want to encourage you just to take some time as you're singing this song. Just pray, God, how am I not depending upon you, Lord? What are the areas where my life doesn't look like Psalms 23? God, how is my lifestyle not matching up to the lifestyle that David pictures here? And I would even then just challenge you this week, every morning, get up and read this passage. Get up and sing this passage. Pray this passage. Celebrate this passage and then say, God, let me depend upon you. Teach me to find a greater dependence day in and day out. That I can find a greater dependence in the seasons of the shadow, the valley of death. I can find a greater dependence in victory, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are our shepherd. God, we shall not want. God, you make us lie down in green pastures, and you lead us beside still waters, God. God, you restore our souls, and you lead us down the paths of righteousness for your sake, Lord. And God, I pray that that would be our prayer as a church today. God, I pray that would be a prayer as we go home for our families, Lord. I pray that we would be learning to depend upon you, God, and that nothing that we will do is out of our strength, but it'll be out of yours because we are leaning into you. God, I pray for anybody right now this morning who's in the season of the shadow of the valley of death, God. I pray that you would be with them. God, that they would understand that you are there, Lord. God, that it would be a season that we would understand that you have led them there, and God, that you are going to take them through that. God, I pray that you would show them your rod and your staff. God, your protection and your direction. And God, that you would remove that fear, Lord, that they could continue to lean in. God, I pray for anybody this morning who's celebrating victory, who's celebrating just a season where you have come through, where you have shown yourself faithful time and time again. And Lord, I pray that whoever that is, Lord, that they would then be able to look back and say, look at what God has done. God, you have led me to this table, Lord. And God, that we would continue to be able to lean into even in times of victory, Lord. And God, that we would be a church that's sold out for our dependence upon you. And God, even this week, Lord, grow our dependence upon you. God, give us a lifestyle as Psalms 23, God, because you deserve it for your name's sake.